Welcome to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous ones on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. You can also find us on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. My name is Austin Price. I am joined in the studio by one of our sponsors, but also my lovely co-host, Bill Clark, and our other sponsor, Coach and Force Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road, right across the street from Five Flags Speedway. Bill, War Eagle, and good morning, my friend.
Good morning, War Eagle. Glad to be here. Got a lot to talk about. A lot of good things going on at Auburn.
Right.
We had one bad game this week, but we can talk about that. But a lot of good things overall going on at Auburn University.
Right, absolutely. And you mentioned, because of course it has been a recurring theme on this broadcast, we've talked about how Auburn softball is just one of several sports that Auburn has seemingly been good at recently or has potential to be good at, because we were talking about Auburn just being an all-around athletic university. And you told me that the softball team's actually off to a pretty booming start, correct?
Absolutely. They're 5-0. So, I mean, we got a perfect record going. We're playing, quality opponents. We beat North Carolina 11-1. and North Carolina's not a bad team.
You sure?
We had a couple of close games, 9-7 against Southern Illinois, 10-9 against Appalachian State.
Wow.
But the women's softball is getting off to a roaring start. They're fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Their next game is tonight this afternoon at 3 p.m. against Clemson.
Okay, another ACC team.
Yeah. We've got quite a few games coming up. They do play a couple of doubleheaders coming up. Play Clemson, and then on Friday we have a doubleheader against Virginia and UCF, and then on Saturday a doubleheader against Charlotte and Oklahoma State. Don't know much about Charlotte as far as the softball program goes.
Right.
UCF, Virginia, and Oklahoma State.
Big names.
You got to expect good quality competition out of those, so – let's see how far we can keep this streak going. Most of the games are televised. ESPN2 is carrying a lot of them. I think SEC Network is going to carry a few of them as well.
All righty.
But with it being, right in the middle of basketball season, there's a lot of competition for viewership for the sports. So once the basketball season's over, I think you're going to see a lot more of women's softball on TV, whether it's Auburn or anybody else. But give us some opportunities to talk or to root on the Auburn Tigers sports. I'd mentioned last week that I saw something about Netflix doing a documentary on the Auburn football program. They are doing it. I couldn't find anything that showed exactly when it's going to be available on Netflix. But they are advertising it pretty heavy. And it's not just about the program as it exists today. It goes into, the history of the program, the quality teams that we've put out in the past, including two national championship teams. It says it's not just the players and the games on the field, but it's also a look into the locker room and the coaching staff and the organization.
The culture, right?
Yeah, the whole thing. So I'm kind of looking forward to when that comes. You don't know if it's good or bad until you see it, because you don't know what direction they're coming into the production of that documentary is,
Right.
Are they looking to expose something, or are they just looking to give you a history of what the program is and how it works?
I'm assuming they'll show the highs and lows that happen behind the scenes.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to because they exist.
Right.
I mean, every program has them. Every program has a little dirty laundry here and there. And that's fine. I mean, that's why you get put on restrictions, so to speak. Auburn was in the penalty box in the late 90s, early 2000s. No postseason, no bowl games because of recruiting violations. It's part of our history. You got to acknowledge it. The bad thing is, right in the middle of that, we went undefeated and would have had a team that would have been worthy of a national championship. But, you know, that's just that's the way it goes. There's quite a few teams that schools out there that have suffered the same fate. You know, they're on probation in the middle of fielding one of their better teams, and then, you know, those kids get penalized for something that happened with kids that were recruited before they ever came in.
Yeah, something above them.
Yeah, that's the part of the way they do their restrictions and the way they meter out the penalties to the school. They end up punishing kids that had nothing to do with what actually happened. That's on a tangent, but I'm looking forward to seeing what this Netflix documentary is going to present about Auburn. So something to look forward to there.
100%. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Bill, we had just been talking about softball. Auburn softball doing well, off to a 5-0 start. And someone who's been a bit more of a mixed bag, someone who's been a bit more hit or miss, I would say, is the women's basketball team. But you've been kind of filling me in on how they've held their own these past few weeks, or these past few games, rather. And they're actually starting to seemingly find a rhythm. They just competed with a ranked Oklahoma, correct?
Yeah, well, we talked last week. We talked a little bit about them having lost to South Carolina at South Carolina.
No shame in that.
but South Carolina's ranked number four, and they've had national championships in women's basketball, so they're a quality program. They bounced right back and beat Texas A&M by 13.
Right.
And then they played Oklahoma and only lost by two, but the game was at Oklahoma, and Oklahoma's a ranked team. So they put up a fantastic effort. They tried real hard. They just fell 2 points short. The next game is today at 5:30. So you got a 3 o'clock softball game you can watch, and you got a 5:30 women's basketball game you can watch. Auburn plays at Tennessee, and Tennessee's ranked 15. If they can be as competitive against Tennessee as they were against Oklahoma, that might be a gettable game.
Yeah.
And then Sunday we play Vandy. Vandy has what did I say 16-5 record so far this year,
or was it like 18-6?
It was something like that.
It was a good record.
Yeah, they're. Well,
I think they made the tournament last year.
Yeah, 18-6.
Right.
So Vandy is coming to Auburn to play the women.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, that to me is a gettable game. Also, so you know Auburn has turned their women's basketball program around a little bit in the middle of this season, and it had to do with the acquisition of the young Chinese girl Yang.
Right.
Deng.
Assuming we're pronouncing it correctly.
but you know she's producing on the floor, and it's making a difference. It's having an impact on the whole program. I think I think adding her to the lineup was a good thing for Auburn. And hopefully it will be a good thing in the long run, as long as she doesn't decide
to go
into the transfer portal, you know.
Right.
That's part of the strategy with bringing these kids on board now is if you want to keep them, you got to make it lucrative for them to come and stay instead of bouncing around through the portal.
So. Yeah. Our takeaway with the women's basketball team has been, listen, it's a transitional period in the sense of we're looking at how, as you said, actively turning the team around. It's not like the men's basketball where we're already firing on all cylinders. You're trying to turn the team around. You're trying to establish some potential amongst league competition. So, yeah, I can't judge you if you get beat up by the defending champs. We already knew that could happen. It's a matter of can you compete with some of those middle-of-the-pack teams, some of those higher-up teams perhaps. You just went to that ranked Oklahoma, like we said, only lost by two. You got Vandy coming to you. You got a ranked Tennessee who's also good but not, like, terrific, not perfect. There's a lot of potential here for Auburn women's basketball to really get a stronger foothold in the SEC.
Oh, yeah. Well, the thing you're seeing is progress.
Mm-hmm.
Every game – their stats, their production is getting better. The quality of the product is getting a little better and a little better. And that's what you want to see, especially in a year like this where the record's not great.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you something to build on for next season and maybe make that transition into a really good competitive squad next year.
Yes, because right now, obviously, we're getting pretty late in the season, mid-February. Auburn is Auburn's women. They're sitting at around 500, I believe, around like 13, 14 wins.
Yeah, they're 12 and 12.
12 and 12, okay, cool.
Yeah, so they're, I mean, you know, Tennessee's 17 and 6.
That'll be tough.
But I still think it's a gettable game.
Yeah.
You know, it's.
I mean, you competed with Oklahoma.
Well, that's just it. They're like I said, they're getting better. They're becoming more competitive. They're trying harder. They're playing well together as a team.
Right.
Better than they were at the beginning of the year. So, and of course, now, like you say, we're in league play where everybody in the league is a better product than what you played outside of your conference. They're stepping up. They're making improvements. I'm excited about the completion of this season, what it's going to look like, and makes me even more excited about what kind of product they're going to field next year.
Yeah. No, we've talked about the SEC being a very deep conference. Obviously, being a prominent athletic conference, you're going to have a lot of talent regardless of the sport. But having to take on teams like this and proving you can just compete with them, we'll take those baby steps. It puts hair on your chest. I don't know how applicable that saying is in women's sports, but either way, it gets you prepped for some of the bigger games. If you can compete with Tennessee, if you can beat Vandy at home, I'll take that. I will take that 100%.
Oh yeah, anything to put you over the 500 mark for the season,
that too.
and be a quality win against a ranked opponent. There's a lot of positive things happen after something like that.
100%. All righty, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. It's just about 10:14 here. We'll take our first break, but before we do, I want to remind you of our lovely sponsors for this broadcast. First up, we got Coach and Four Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road, right across the street from Five Flags Speedway. You can saddle up to the bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. Also brought to you by my co-host, Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, let's talk ED, because millions of men experience it, but not everyone can access or afford treatments like Viagra. Well, Hims can help. Through Hims.com, you can get a full range of treatment options for ED, including daily or as-needed meds, through a 100% online process. It all starts with an online intake form. Get started at hims.com/joy, and from there, a medical provider licensed in your state will determine if ED treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is shipped to you for free. Find the ED treatment that fits your needs with options up to 95% less than the brand names. Millions of men experience ED, but Hims can help. To start your free online visit and save up to 95%, go to hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit. hims.com/joy.
When you have a good thing going, having two good things going is twice as nice. Bobby Likas Auto Service has been helping Pensacola service and repair their vehicles for years. Now Bobby Likas Auto Service has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. Same great service and reliable work, no matter if you're driving a truck, a luxury vehicle, or your family sedan. Take it to the place thousands have done for years. Take it to Bobby Likas Auto Service, still on Davis Highway and now also on Pensacola Boulevard.
Man, I loved playing high school sports growing up. And it's fun being a fan now, don't get me wrong, but sitting in the stands feels like I'm missing out on all the action, you know? I wanted to get back in the game, so I signed up to be a high school official. It takes me back to my playing days. I'm supporting students, and I get paid to make the big calls. Do you want to see the game up close? Sign up to become an official in Florida at highschoolofficials.com.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. So whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
Amber and Ian, weeknights 6 to 9 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. Brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse and my co-host Bill Clark. Austin Price here in the studio with you. Bill, when we left off, we were talking about how softball, women's basketball, there was a lot of potential there with how both of those teams are looking today. And, of course, we always go from that first segment to bleeding into the headliner, the men's basketball, of course. You're number one in the nation. You have been for quite some time now. And we thought for a moment, at least on Saturday, that maybe that top spot was going to be threatened as Auburn, I can't believe I'm saying it, fell to Florida 90-81.
Yeah, I mean, it was – Auburn was a 9.5-point favorite, and I'm almost certain that was entirely because it was a home game for
right.
Auburn.
Auburn
plus
was
Auburn being
all.
Unanimously ranked number one. Florida has played great basketball games, and we talked about that last week. We even talked about them being a little cyclic. They'd have really good games, and then they'd have a really bad game. Mm-hmm. And they kind of did that with their split in the Tennessee matchup. Beating Tennessee by 30 and then turn around and lose to Tennessee by 20.
Somehow.
Yeah. But the difference in this game was Auburn's defense. Auburn wasn't able to defend against Florida the way they have been against other teams so far this year. They weren't getting the rebounds. We weren't getting very many second chance points in the offensive side either. But statistically, Auburn played a great game. The numbers for the players are pretty much what they have been, leading up to this game. Florida, watching that game, the difference to me was Florida was just shooting and scoring at a much higher percentage.
Right.
They were hitting just about every ball they threw at the basket, especially the three-pointers. And what they were doing was they were making Auburn defend them all the way into – Auburn defended the box pretty well, kept everybody on the perimeter, and would get Florida all the way down to single digits left on the shot clock, and then Florida would find the open guy and hit. So they were eating up clock, and they were scoring. I think Auburn and Florida were about even on takeaways. Janai Broome had a double-double.
He had a good game.
Yeah, 18 points, 11 rebounds.
Six assists and two blocks as well.
Oh, he had one monster block that was just awesome. Dylan Cardwell defensively had a great game. Him and Chad Baker Mazar both defensively played well. It was the other guys in the man-on-man defense that were the Florida player would get either to the corner or just outside the three-point line and do, they were hitting. I mean, that's all you can say about what Florida was doing. They were just shooting at a higher percentage.
Right.
And it made a difference, 9-point difference. It shows up now in the rankings, too, because Auburn is not the unanimous number one. They did garner most of the votes and retain the first place.
We can thank Clemson for beating Duke for that.
You have five teams or four teams in the top five out of the SEC. I think Tennessee's probably going to fall. out of that since they lost to Kentucky on Tuesday.
Tennessee is really no different from Florida in regards to
– Yeah, they have a good game in a bag.
Violent turbulence throughout their entire league play.
Yeah, but they have athletes, and they can play. It's just a matter of putting it all together for every game.
Right.
That's the difference. That's the difference I see with this Auburn squad. Even in a loss against a Florida, and when we lost against Duke, they still put together statistically a good game. They played their own style of basketball. They just got outscored.
Right.
And then Auburn showed just exactly what they're capable of when they came back, right behind that game and beat Vandy. Got up big against Vandy early. I want to say it was 10 or 12 to nothing, right away. And then Vandy closed the gap and actually squeaked ahead for a little bit. And then the second half, Auburn just dominated the second half of that game.
Yeah, I got to tell you, and I hate to be that guy. I don't want to be too pessimistic or too critical. And who knows, maybe I'm just jaded after, the Florida loss. But I got to tell you, I wasn't wild with Auburn against Vandy. First of all, I do want to give, and I think I've done this before on this show, but I'm going to do it again. Because repetition, of course, is always fun. I'm going to give another nod to Vandy. They've had a heck of a turnaround this year. I think they only won 9 games last season. They've got a new head coach, if I'm not mistaken. So to see them having their year, an objectively good one, I'm happy for them. But they're not a great team, of course. You didn't expect that from them. But I'm watching how Auburn played them, because Auburn is a great team. So I'm going to hold you to a great standard. Janiah Broome did well. He had 17 points, but he only shot 6 for 16. He snagged only 7 boards. Not great by his standard. But then you've got Chad Baker-Mazzara, Miles Kelly. Miles Kelly was your leading scorer against Florida. Those two combined for just 3 points on 11 shots. They had a terrible shooting percentage, period. And then you had Vandy out-rebounding the team, so you had another poor game defensively in that regard. I was not wowed by this performance. I'll take a double-digit road win after a loss to Florida, but I wasn't blown away.
No, you're absolutely right. Statistically, looking at the Vandy performance, that is not a typical Auburn performance.
Right.
Janiah Broome, you would have expected against Vanderbilt to at least have a double-double.
If he could against Florida, golly.
Yeah. The players that stepped up and made the difference in the Vandy game was Denver Jones and Chaney Johnson.
Those are the exact two I listed.
They were both in double-digit points. They had almost 30 minutes each on the floor. They contributed for about 40% of the rebounds.
Mm-hmm. And
they played hard defense.
Yeah, and heck, I mean, you're talking about defense. I'm giving them love for offense, too, because I was just criticizing Auburn's shooting percentage with multiple impact players. But Denver and Chaney, they carried Auburn's field goal percentage, shooting a combined 16 for 20. And as you said, each one did just put up a lot of points. Each one broke 20 points on the day.
Yeah, I mean, when our number one and number two guy aren't performing at the level that they have been in previous games,
the 3-4s,
you
got
to expect somebody from the bench to close the gap and take up that slack, and that's exactly what happened. And that's coaching. Mm-hmm. That's utilizing your bench, realizing when your number one and number two and maybe number three player are just not on their A game today, mm-hmm. and filling that void with people off the bench that have proven during the course of the season that they're capable of doing these things. And then putting them out there and letting them perform. It was still a fun game to watch.
Yeah. And as I said, I could be going a bit too hard on Auburn. I am trying to stick to the positives when it comes to, okay, you just had another loss, albeit a quality one. Going back out there facing a Vandy team that I just praised for being on the up and up, to beat them convincingly in Nashville, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be ungrateful. It was a good win, just not a great one.
It was a hostile environment. I mean, if you watch that game from start to finish.
Wasn't Vandy able to beat Tennessee in Nashville?
Yes.
It's a tough place.
Vandy's home court and their fan base at home, it's a formidable thing. It's like that with anybody in the SEC.
Yeah, no matter what Nick Saban said.
Yeah, every venue is going to be tough if you're the away opponent. They still did what they needed to do to win the game. Mm-hmm. The the bench came through. They played solid defense. They gotta find a way to get their number one through five players back on track, especially going into this next game.
Yes, yes. That next game, by the way, as if it needs any introduction, we've been looking ahead to it, actually, these past couple of episodes of War Eagle Weekly. By the way, that's what you're listening to every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price, Bill Clark with you. Bill, you and I, of course, just in case someone doesn't know, we're talking about Alabama. They are your next game, number two in the nation. You're going on the road. I mean, come on. You don't exactly have to be a expert sports analyst to know what makes this one a pretty pivotal matchup.
Well, you know, we play Alabama twice in the next 3 weeks.
Right.
We play them at Alabama on Saturday at 3 o'clock. They're now ranked number two, and deservedly so.
Oh, no. Alabama is phenomenal.
So this is the game where everybody on the team has to be on their A game.
Right.
And don't, you know, just play your game. Play the game that you know how to play. Don't get pushed into a corner where you feel like you got to take chances to make up a difference if you get behind early. Just stick to your game plan and play your game.
Yeah,
we're definitely gonna have to have quality performance by Janai Broome and Dylan Cardwell and Denver Jones and Chad Baker-Mazzara.
Yeah, that depth that we've been talking about, you're going
to need. All four of them are going to have to get somewhere close to double digits in points and double digits in rebounds. The rebounding is what's that's what hurt us most in the last four games that I've seen is the second chance points, the offensive rebounds.
Right.
We got to have somebody under the basket when they're shooting to at least give us an opportunity to catch an offensive rebound and get some second chance points out of it. That lacked a lot in the Florida game, and it showed up again in the Vandy game. And, you know, Coach Pearl's, he's a great coach. I'm sure he sees that more than any of us as fans do. He understands his players. He understands what's going on the court, and I'm sure that's something they're practicing hard to improve on. But that's where I see the difference being in this type of game where you have number one versus number two, and
right,
we're at number two's venue, is you got to have better second rebounding performance, both offensively and defensively. That's where this game's going to – I think that's what's going to make the difference in this game. Who rebounds better?
Yeah, well, and I absolutely agree with you because, as you said, that's been kind of hurting Auburn a bit. We just mentioned it against Florida and Vandy. But, I mean, this is all the bigger of a beast. The Tide have won seven games in a row. They are on fire. Two of those wins have been over Kentucky and Mississippi State. That's ranked opposition. They also beat Texas A&M earlier in the year. Also on the road, the Aggies are number eight in the nation. So this is a team that, similarly to Auburn, has not only – earned their spot in the rankings because of how well they've done with their record, but it's whom all they've beaten.
Yeah, well, they're well coached, and they do have some depth on their bench, and they match up well against Auburn. Position-wise, they match up well. They have speed, so they're able to, you know, get some fast break points, which, you know, that's a game changer when you get into a shootout, scoring-wise. Their difference is they're out-rebounding other people, and they're out-shooting percentage-wise, especially in the 3 points. I want to say they're like 46% from three-point range, and they're almost at 50% from the free-throw line as a team.
Wow.
So I think Auburn has the edge in free throws, especially if Chad Baker-Mazzara is the one you're fouling.
Yeah, no room for error here. You got to make the points that are given to you.
If you put them in foul trouble, you got to keep the ball in Chad Baker's hands as much as you can, so he's the guy that gets fouled and goes to the line. You know, Dylan Cardwell and Janiah Broome, as good as they are as defensive players and bigs, they don't have the free throw percentage that Denver Jones and Chad Baker have. So, you know, defensively, try to get Alabama in foul trouble early. and then keep the ball in those guys' hands, and especially in transition. That way they're most likely to be the ones getting fouled. And win the rebounds and win the free throws.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be what
fundamentals.
That's what this game is going to pivot on, because they both have quality players at all the positions. They have depth in their bench. They're both well coached. Alabama has the edge because it's at home.
Yeah. This is the Florida game, except it's against a bigger rival, first of all, but also a more consistent team, and this time you're the one in enemy territory. And that's what really scares me, Bill.
Yeah. 6 months from now, nobody's going to be bragging about the outcome of the Florida
Auburn game. Yeah, no one cares.
Six months from now, everybody's going to be bragging about either their team winning or the other team winning.
And you just got to
in
hope.
The Auburn-Alabama matchup, especially since we match up twice.
Right.
If the same team takes both matchups.
I was about to say, if you're the first loser, you just got to hope you trade games. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. that's when you're praying for a 500 outcome. But if you can take away both matchups as the winner, I mean, you know, it's essentially the Iron Bowl in basketball. You know, you got bragging rights for the year.
Yeah. Now, golly.
And pretty much whoever wins those two games, these coming up two games, I think is going to end up, especially if one team ends up winning both of those games.
Right.
That team is for sure going to be the SEC champion at the end of the SEC tournament.
You would have proven you can beat the best of the best in the conference. Both of these teams have already proven that week in, week out, but it doesn't get much more official than 1-2. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. We'll take a quick break. It's just about 10:34 here. When we return, we've got who Auburn plays next week, beyond the weekend. I think y'all play them Wednesday, Arkansas. Now, Arkansas ain't quite Florida. They ain't quite Alabama either, but that's another trap game. We've been talking on and off about trap games throughout this season, and Arkansas just might be the truest form of a trap game we have seen for Auburn yet. We got details on what I mean by that, what makes them a trap game, and more coming up.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Love and Mood has everything you need to score big with that special someone in your life. From lotions and potions to exotic lingerie and adult novelties, all at affordable prices. Visit Love and Mood Lingerie at 5104 North W Street, two blocks south of Brent Lane, next to Chasers. Store hours are Monday through Thursday, 10 to 8, Friday and Saturday, 10 to 10, and Sunday, 12 to 6. Shop online at loveandmood.com.
Empower. Jen has ordered a decadent seafood tower, king crab legs, lobster tails, and a waterfall of caviar. Pricey? You bet. But Jen worked with Empower on her savings and investment strategy and planned for splurges like these. She got good at money, so she can be a little bad. Ooh, champagne. Empower. Invest well, live a little. Start today at Empower.com.
Past performance is not indicative of future returns. Investing involves risk. You may lose money. Advisory services are provided for a fee by Empower Advisor Group, LLC, EAG, a registered investment advisor with the Securities and Exchange Commission. OMG, those shrimps are really jumbo.
Looking for a local shop that carries Michelin tires that you can trust? In Pensacola, that place is Tire Trust. Downtown on the corner of Gregory and Balin, Tire Trust has been taking care of people in Pensacola for over 23 years. Featuring the Michelin line, Tire Trust prides themselves on service you can trust. Tire Trust is more than a tire store. They're a full-service shop taking care of all your automotive needs. For service you can trust and Michelin tires, put your trust in Tire Trust.
to the Pony Gentlemen's Club at 500 East Gregory Street. Enjoy extended happy hour and enticing drink specials from noon until 7, Monday through Saturday. Doors open at 7 p.m. on Sundays. And you'll want to stop by February 20th through the 22nd and watch three shows nightly performed by Entertainer of the Year, Michelle Lynn. Elevate your nights where sophistication meets indulgence. The Pony Gentlemen's Club, located at 500 East Gregory Street.
Unsportsmanlike. Weekdays 5 to 9 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time.
Back to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to this station on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Also want to give you another reminder that this show is brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road right across the street from Five Flag Speedway, and brought to you by my co-host Bill Clark. Austin Price here in the studio with you. Bill, when we left off, we were talking about Alabama, and we talked about really how a game of that magnitude really needs no explanation, especially when Alabama's number two and when the game is taking place in Tuscaloosa. But next Wednesday, before we return, we are going to have another game for Auburn, and I think this one is huge. You're back home, and you're against 15-9 Arkansas. Now, any casual fans out there who aren't following Auburn and the Razorbacks and seeing how some of these games are lining up, they may look at Arkansas and think, who cares, right? These guys are schmucks. It's going to be a breath of fresh air. Arkansas could not be further from. Not this point in the season.
No, Arkansas, they went into Kentucky and beat Kentucky.
Right.
They're coached by a legendary basketball coach, Calipari.
Right.
They're going to come prepared. They're going to come ready to play. They have athletes. I just don't know how deep their bench is. Mm-hmm. That may be the difference maker in this type of game, is they may not have the depth on the bench that Auburn has, so they're, you know, keeping fresh players out. If Auburn plays them tight defensively the way they're capable of, then I think this should not be a trap game. But if they overlook them, a lot of it's going to depend on the outcome of the Alabama game. You know, are they going to come out victorious and then overlooking them, or is Auburn going to come out of there with a loss and it be a revenge game?
Yeah.
So those two possibilities are obviously going to have an influence on the outcome of that game. But it's like we talked about when Auburn played Vandy. You know, it being a trap game. Don't look past them. Auburn kind of looked a little slower against Vandy.
Yeah, because it's not early. Like Vandy played a great game. They played pretty mediocre.
Yeah, early in the game, Auburn got off to a fast start and then played slow and then had to pick their game back up to win it. So we don't need another one of those.
No.
So Arkansas, like you say, it has the all the trappings of being a trap game, but Auburn's got the team to overcome that type of scenario.
I would think so. The Razorback men kind of remind me of what we were saying about Auburn women early this
hour. They're improving.
Yeah, they are a team that, man, they had a rough go of it to start the year, and you are. You're looking at them like, God, Calipari, this is your team? You know, you're going to start coaching soon? And now, as you said, they beat Kentucky on the road, but they also beat Texas on the road. They played that Crimson Tide team we were talking about and lost. I believe the score was 85-81. So they went toe-to-toe with the Tide after 40 minutes. So this is a team that is very tough. They most recently played last night. They beat LSU. Now, LSU's a struggling team. I think they're 12-11 now, something like that.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you faced a team that you are supposed to beat by double digits, beat them 70-58. So this is a team that has been playing well at home, playing well on the road. I really desperately want to believe that Auburn would not let their emotions or let any complacency or egotistical natures get in the way of them approaching this team head on. I would really like to think that because we've talked about how Bruce Pearl has coached this team and how this team plays. But if it were to happen, and if it were to cost you a game that you should win, I think it would be here.
Yeah. Well, both of these teams are well coached. Mm-hmm. It's going to be about preparation. It's going to be about depth on the bench. And it's going to be about staying true to what your team is capable of and what you excel at. Don't give up the easy stuff. And don't get put in a position where you have to take the low percentage shots or the low percentage game. Keep it in the high percentile range. And, this is going to be a game that's kind of like the Alabama game to me. It's going to be one on rebounds and defense. Mm-hmm.
And you had mentioned depth. You had mentioned the importance of, okay, can this team go toe-to-toe with Auburn, right? And I think if Arkansas had y'all's luck when it comes to how your schedule is pieced together. We've talked about Auburn having a big game and then an easier game. Big game, easier game. Arkansas doesn't have that. Arkansas has to take on Auburn between 8th-ranked Texas A&M. That game's on the road as well. And then they have to host 21 Missouri. They have to rematch a rival that they already played earlier this year. So Arkansas has Auburn in about as tough of a spot as they could have them. So hopefully Arkansas is a bit in over their head and the Tigers can really capitalize on that.
Yeah, that's their strength of schedule is definitely different than Auburn's as far as the way the remaining schedule plays out.
Right.
Auburn doesn't really have an easy road either. I mean, Arkansas is not a bad team. So, like you say, that's a trap game. Then after that, we play Georgia. That's at home. We've already beaten Georgia once. And with it being a home game and it being a traditional longstanding rival, not just in football but also in basketball with Georgia, not as big as the Iron Bowl but pretty close. So that game's going to mean a lot, especially to the fan base at Auburn. Mm-hmm. Then we have to take on 19 Ole Miss, 15 Kentucky, 8th-ranked Texas A&M, and then number 2-ranked Alabama. So our last
– very bottom-heavy schedule.
Our last four games – are that gauntlet that you're just describing that Arkansas is having to deal with.
Right.
So Arkansas is dealing with it now. They're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Auburn's the power-heavy portion of our schedule is what's remaining. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard gauntlet to go through.
Right. Doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah, fortunately, the Ole Miss game is a home game, but we have to go to Kentucky and to Texas A&M before – rematching up with Alabama at home. And, I talked a little bit last week about all the watch parties and stuff that the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club is having. We had a watch party for the Florida game. We had a good turnout. We had almost 20 people there. Mm. And it was a fun game to watch. I mean, you know, because it was in doubt all the way to the end. Unfortunately, we came up on the short end of that one, but that wasn't because of lack of performance from Auburn. That was because of excellent performance out of Florida.
Yeah.
So it was still a fun game to watch. We're having one remaining watch party that's already been announced, and that is for the final game of the year, March 8th, home matchup against Alabama. So right now it's a 1 p.m. game, which I'm thrilled about. I'd much rather this game take place right around lunch than later in the day.
Right.
With it being a home game, I'm expecting a good turnout at O'Reilly's in the dart room for the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club to watch this game. And I'm inviting everybody that wants to come and watch the game. If you don't have something already set up and you don't want to watch it at home, you'd rather be around like-minded people, by all means, come and join us. The more the merrier. We have a good time. It's a good group of people. The people on the board for the Auburn alumni here locally, I've been on and off that board for 20-plus years. We love what we do. We love supporting the program, and watch parties are a big part of that. So I'm inviting everybody to come and join us. You can find us on Facebook, Greater Pensacola Auburn Club. And that's where we post everything that we're doing, not just watch parties, but anything else that we have going on as an alumni club.
Excellent. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. And, Bill, it's just past 10:45. I'll get your thoughts on this very quickly before we go to our last break. Super Bowl 59, speaking of big games. of course, the Eagles won 40-22. MVP quarterback Jalen Hurts. I think I'm in the minority when I say that that was a deserved MVP, but we'll get to that in a moment. Philly, 18-point win. They were beating the brakes off of KC. A lot of KC's points were in garbage time. No one expected this even remotely. But you had the Eagles winning, correct?
I did.
Right. I think I was in the minority on taking the Chiefs to win this thing. Yeah, and you had it being around 31-24. So outside of underestimating how many points the Eagles would score, you were actually pretty on the money with this prediction. So I'll get your thoughts on it first. What did you take away from the game, my man?
Well, my prediction was that the Eagles would win and that they would do it with Saquon, with Barkley.
Yeah, I think everybody thought that.
Barkley ended up being pretty pedestrian in his performance.
Limited game.
But they really didn't need him to. Philly won that game defensively.
Yes.
When they put Kansas City back on their heels early and then forced turnovers, including that pick six by the rookie, that all that did was make them pin their ears back and play on fire even harder.
I'm so disappointed in how out of their element Kansas City was, especially from an O-line perspective. That was one of the main things that people took away. What was it, six blocks or so without blitzing? You're getting through what is supposed to be a dynasty caliber O-line that often without blitzing?
Yeah,
I mean, that's unbelievable.
The last thing I remember watching on YouTube, breakdown of the game, and I don't remember who did the breakdown, they said one of the things that Kansas City did that they probably shouldn't have done was they had a guard that was injured. So they move a tackle to guard, and then they bring a bench player off the bench to play tackle.
Okay.
Why not just bring the bench player off to fill the void where the guard is, leave the tackle where he has been playing?
Don't overcomplicate it.
Yeah. Don't move two people around to fill one void. That was something that was brought up. And I didn't know what the injury situation was with Kansas City. But Philly defense, I think they only blitzed four times in the entire game. And the blitzes didn't result in turnovers or sacks. The blitzes just resulted in hurrying up Mahomes. Mahomes threw the interceptions when he wasn't being blitzed.
Yeah, one time he was pressured, and then, I think that was when he threw the pick six. I could be wrong.
Threw the pick six from – he was scrambling and trying to make a play and threw the pick six.
And then he threw another one, and it may not have been when he was officially being pressured, but it was when, he was standing on his own goal line.
Yep.
It was a terrible game for the Chiefs, just through and through. I will give them a tip of the cap in one regard. Xavier Worthy, wide receiver, young talent, very fast. And he's shown promise throughout the season, of course. But his performance in this game, nothing short of outstanding to me. The game was out of reach. It looked like you had little to fight for against that caliber of opposition on that stage. To show that kind of dependability in spite of all of that, that's awesome for KC. If you're a Chiefs fan, you got to look at that with a smile, regardless of the score, regardless of the outcome.
Yep. My takeaway on that, the entirety of the game, is two plays. The pick six. And then the bomb that Jalen Hurts threw
down. Devontae Smith, yep.
And you could almost see that one coming, because when Jalen Hurts got up to take the snap, it was obvious that Kansas City was going to blitz, which means he knows he's got man on man, and he's got Devontae Smith on the outside on a streak route.
Right.
He knew exactly where he was going before the ball ever got in his hands.
Yeah.
And it was that play. Coming behind the pick six just opened the floodgates for Philly. The energy was with them. I think pretty much the crowd was with them. I think there were more Philly fans in attendance than there were Kansas City fans.
I know Taylor Swift got booed.
That's a whole nother show we can talk about. But who got booed and who got cheered. But I think the crowd. Even from the beginning of the game, I was like, man, it sounds like there's – even when they pan through the crowd, I was like, man, it looks like there's more Philly fans out there than there are Kansas City fans.
Which has
been unusual from the past, obvious, three Super Bowls. You know, they've been overwhelmingly Kansas City fans.
Yeah, man, honestly, you were summing up the game with two plays. I'm going to sum it up this way. the Eagles and Chiefs looked exactly how we expected them to look, I think, in retrospect. Not as far as exactly how the game went down, but as far as just the energy of this game, and I know that's always such an overused buzzword, or the energy that the team brings, but hear me out. The Eagles were, of course, high-scoring team in the NFC title game. They had just made the Super Bowl 2 years prior, so they learned from their mistakes. They had the experience. They were more prepared for the stage this time. The Chiefs, meanwhile, what did we say about them all season? Man, this team's getting bailed out. This team, it's a good team. This team's not unbeatable. And we saw
it's
both
not like
sides.
It's not like the team they had 2 years ago.
Yeah. So we saw both sides of that coin get exposed in this game. It's as simple as that. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. 10:52 here. We'll take one last quick break. When we return, we'll get our score predictions very quickly. This show is brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road right across from Five Flag Speedway. And brought to you by my co-host, Bill Clark.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead. With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. So whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunities.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Ugh, leaving for the gym so early?
I'm ready to go.
Since you started taking Nugenix Total T, you've been acting like when we met in our 20s.
I feel like myself again. Lower testosterone after turning 40 slowed me down. Nugenix Total T has been a game changer for me.
What is it about Nugenix Total T that's different?
It's a key ingredient called Tesnor. It boosts free and total testosterone to help you get back the drive and energy from your youth. Total T is backed by 5 clinical studies.
I've seen the huge difference it's made for you in the gym, at work, and in the bedroom.
I'm so glad I sent them a text for my complimentary bottle. Text ROCKY to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. Nugenix is the number one selling testosterone-boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now, and we'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text ROCKY to 321-321. That's ROCKY to 321-321.
Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Already 10:56 here due to some time constraints. Of course, we had to cut our Super Bowl discussion a little bit short, dead gummit, but that's okay. We always end our episodes with some score predictions. Auburn men's basketball, Saturday, February 15th at Alabama. Bill, who do you have?
Auburn 88, Alabama 82.
Man. I got Alabama. I got them winning 82-76. I think they'll keep it close for sure. And if it were at Auburn, I'd maybe humor a slim win. But in Tuscaloosa, I just don't see it, man. That's tough. Maybe I'm just a doubter.
Well, I already told you it's a pick from the heart, whether it was a 1-2 matchup or not. But, Auburn 88, Alabama 82.
Okay. So, coincidentally, you and I are revealing these scores to each other for the first time. So, coincidentally, we both had Alabama scoring 72. You just have Auburn scoring more. I got them scoring less than that. All righty. Wednesday, February 19th. I think you and I are going to be more in alignment here. I'm assuming Auburn.
Oh, yeah. Auburn, Arkansas. I've got Auburn 92, Arkansas 78.
Wow. So you've got this one being higher scoring than I do as well. I've got Auburn winning this game convincingly. I've got it being 84-70. So I think we both have 14-point wins. So, wow, you look at us. We're so insane.
Yeah, I've got it at 16 points.
So. Oh, 16?
No, I've got a 14 points.
Yeah. Okay. The Tigers will be back home. I think after the Bama loss that I'm predicting, I think they'll be out for blood. You had talked about that, maybe being motivated for revenge. If this were the Razorbacks that we witnessed before recently, my prediction would probably even be bigger. If this were the early season Razorbacks, or early league play, rather, man, I'd probably have this being a complete dismemberment.
Yeah, outside of these two games, I'm hoping by this time next week also that Auburn softball is still undefeated.
Yes, absolutely. And I do. I'm very happy that Auburn softball is doing as well as it is early here, and I'm glad that women's basketball is turning around. I'm glad that we have such a great Auburn men's basketball team to talk about, because you really called it, man. I mentioned this at the beginning of the episode. You have talked a lot about how, you know, Auburn's just kind of an athletic university, period. When it comes to their sports, there's a lot of potential with all of their programs, and that's without even mentioning football and how the unfortunate year turned out for them. So, yeah, to see them all firing on all cylinders right now, that's a really good thing to see. I hope I'm wrong about the Bama game.
I hope you're wrong, too.
Well, because I think I've expressed on multiple occasions, being as someone who is not an Auburn fan away from this broadcast, I don't like Alabama. And that's rooted in football. But basketball, come on now. You can't have everything.
Well, this is the first time that Auburn and Alabama have been ranked 1 and 2 ever in basketball, right, playing each other as a matchup. So this is a historic game.
All righty. You've been listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. When we return next week, hopefully we'll have more good to talk about than what I'm predicting. See you then.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.